For the longest of time now, I have been thinking a lot about the idea of comfort and exactly what it is, what we could think it to be, what we think it is, and how we have, on some level, mischaracterized the idea of comfort in society. I think in society, we have a really negative relationship with the idea of comfort. It's in the way we talk about things like comfort zone or things like satisfaction or different things like that. And on some level, it seems like as if we are all trying to get out of comfort, to release ourselves from the idea of comfort, but at the same time, we are all walking towards comfort. And right there is a contradiction in how we relate to the idea of comfort, and that is what I want to address in today's episode. So, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, good whatever time of the day you are listening to this. Welcome to another episode of Volatile Times with Daniel Podcast. And also, Happy New Year! Disclaimer, what you're about to listen to is the work and production of Daniel Briggs Adisa, the host of the Volatile Times with Daniel podcast. Most of what you're about to hear is opinion-based unless stated otherwise. I am not an authority in most of the fields that I will be addressing. These are mostly opinions, so take them with a grain of salt. But I do beg you to listen. They are fun. You will learn the thing. And without further ado, let's get into the episode. So, hello everybody. Welcome to the year 2024. If you are new here, my name is Daniel Briggs Adisa. I am the host, the lovely, jolly, good host of this here podcast. Sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's joyful, but always it is informative and helpful. I am an educator, and the goal of this entire podcast is just me talking about different issues that I have different thoughts on, sometimes controversial, sometimes not, me explaining things. So, hey, you're in for a ride. And today we are going to be looking at the topic of comfort. Now, I know comfort doesn't really seem that much of a big deal to talk about, but that is where you would be wrong, because I don't know, me, I personally think that most of us tend to have a very negative relationship with the idea of comfort. Some of us do not even know what comfort means and how there is an opposite to it called complacency. Many times when I hear about people talk about comfort, it seems that there is a conflation, there is a misunderstanding between what comfort is and complacency. And most of the time, when people are talking about complacency, they use the word comfort, right? And the use of language is very, very important in how we address things. If you use the wrong language for something, you are most likely going to get it wrong, and it's going to lead to a series of misunderstandings in your life. So let us correct one of them, shall we? Comfort can be defined as a state of physical ease and mental tranquility, providing a sense of relief, relaxation, and contentment. It is the feeling of being free from discomfort, pain, or stress, allowing one to feel at ease and somewhat secure, right? Now, let us look at all those characteristics that were listed down in the definition. A sense of relief, physical ease, tranquility, relaxation, contentment. That is actually a very, very important word. And I know most of us are familiar with what contentment means, but just to be teacher-ish. Contentment is when you are somewhat satisfied with what you have, but not necessarily resigned to what you have, which means you can be okay with what you have and still seek more, but you are not desperate for more. Now, let us look at the definition of complacency. Complacency refers to a state of self-satisfaction and contentment with one's current situation, often leading to a lack of motivation or a lack of urgency to improve or make progress. It can arise when individuals or groups become so comfortable with their current level of success or situation or whatever, achievement, etc., etc., that they become unwilling to take risks or challenge themselves to do better. If I end this episode here, I think I have done enough in giving a contrast to the two concepts of comfort and complacency. Because we see in comfort, there's a sense of ease, there is tranquility, there is security, there's contentment. But it's not contentment unto self-satisfaction or resignation, the way complacency is. Because when you are complacent, that's when you have a lack of motivation, you are okay with your lot, you do not seek to improve anything about your life, you are fine where you are. But comfort is, you are fine, but not necessarily resigned to where you are. To explain this further, I would like to delve into this a little bit much more with philosophical concepts. So with that, let us look at the concept of utilitarianism. So by my very little knowledge, remember, opinion piece, if we're going to look at comfort from a philosophical aspect or through a philosophical framework, that would be the framework of utilitarianism. Utilitarianism, I always get tongue twisters whenever I want to say that word. So if I do not say it well throughout this entire episode, do not come for me. English is not my mother tongue, okay? We are trying our best. Utilitarianism is an ethical theory. It's a theory about how we should act, you know, ethics, values, all that kind of stuff. And in the framework of utilitarianism, actions and decisions are evaluated based on their consequences, specifically in terms of promoting greater happiness and minimizing suffering. So most of the time, whenever you see somebody talk about utilitarianism like I am, in a basic surface level concept, is basically about making decisions in your life and surrounding or other kind of things that minimizes suffering and maximizes your happiness. And for me, I think comfort will fall very, very much deeply into that framework of utilitarianism. So in a I'll just start calling it utility sense, okay? Because I cannot come and die. I cannot come and be embarrassing my ancestors on Obasanjo's internet. Okay, so in a utility sense, comfort can be seen as a desirable state that contributes to our overall well-being. For example, providing people with comfortable living conditions, access to basic necessities, and opportunities for relaxation and leisure can increase their happiness and contribute to the overall happiness of society. And I think various social sciences will back this up. And just our lived experiences itself can contribute to this. Many times, as an educator myself, when I have online conversations with other colleagues who are also educators in various levels, we always talk about how it's easier for students to focus on their students if, number one, the area or the environment in which they have to learn is peaceful. So most of the time, you know, you see recommendations for schools to be built in places where there are not a lot of traffic, where there's not a lot of noise, all that kind of stuff, right? So that the students can focus better, so that they feel safe. Right. And also we talk about in-house behavior, things like bullying, you know, teacher conduct, other kind of things, so that we can create a safe environment for the children to learn. Same thing with parenting. In parenting, you want to give your children the best so that they can grow. And in society, most of the time, we find out that people who are born into good circumstances, like having rich parents, attending really good schools, all those kind of stuff, it helps them in their overall development later on in life. So technically speaking, comfort is actually good for developmental growth. If you really want a society where everybody is thriving, people need access to basic amenities, people need access to good healthcare, people need access to good jobs, good laws, all that kind of stuff. Because many of the time when we see statistics about theft and, you know, crime and everything, we see that crimes happen most of the time in impoverished neighborhoods. And I'm not here to make an argument for poverty causes more crime and everything like that. But I think it is worth looking into or understanding that on some level, if people are starving and they are simply just trying to survive onto the next day, people are going to be willing to do some drastic and probably bad things to be able to survive. But when you have people who have their basic needs met, they are able to not worry about eating, about where they are going to be able to get a drink of water, whether they are going to be able to live to the next day. And that way, it frees them up to do more with themselves. But now, since utility sense is more about maximizing happiness, does that mean that the utilitarians just want to avoid suffering everywhere? They just want to not suffer at all, only comfort, no suffering, no hardship, nothing like that? No. Utilitarians also recognize the need to consider other factors beyond just comfort, such as justice, fairness, long-term consequences of our actions, different things like that. So comfort itself doesn't just stand alone. Many things contribute to our comfort. You know, sometimes you need to face more hardship to be able to create more comfort, right? Many of the times we find ourselves working so very hard. We want to have higher paying jobs. We want to live in safer neighborhoods, all those kind of things. So we work hard. We bust our asses every day. Capitalism beats us into the ground, but every day we stand up trying to lift ourselves up by our bootstraps, which is impossible, by the way. And then we just try our best to improve our living situations and increase, or rather improve, the quality of our standard of living. Why? Because we have a desire for comfort. Every single form of hard work that we do is towards the attainment of comfort. Ah, yes, somebody can say, oh, I want to be great, I want this and everything like that. I'm not saying comfort looks the same for everyone, which is another discussion that we could have, or that I could bring forth to the table, but that'll be a different episode, okay? Now, how does this contrast with complacency? I'm very glad you asked. To be able to look how complacency contrasts with this breakdown of comfort that I just provided, I want us to look at another philosophical framework, actually a school of philosophy called existentialism. Existentialism emphasizes the individual freedom, responsibilities, and the idea that individuals must create their own meaning and purpose in life. It critiques the idea of complacency as a form of bad faith or inauthenticity. It says in which individuals deceive themselves by avoiding true freedom and responsibility. So, according to the school of thought of existentialism, complacency is an abandonment of self, right? When you are being complacent, you are actually abandoning yourself. You are denying yourself happiness. You are denying yourself comfort. You are denying yourself through growth and achievement, because you are so much more. You are a bundle of potential, and I'll do another episode on potential another day. Trust me, it's coming. I've been meaning to for a while. You are a free agent, or as free as possible. Freedom of choice is usually determined by the situation you are born into and currently live in. So most of the time, while we do say we have free will, whether under religious frameworks or non-religious frameworks, in a sense, our free will is limited to our situation. So sometimes the amount of choice and free will that can be exerted by a rich person would be more than that of a poor person. It just is. Or let's say you are part of a marginalized group where the laws of that country actively marginalizes and persecutes you. Obviously, the choices that would be open up to you and the choices that you can make, how far you can express your free will, would depend on the limiting factors around you. Now, sometimes you can get yourself out of that, and sometimes it is beyond your control. Now, most of the time, we see people resign to the things that are beyond their control, and they do not work on the things in their control. And don't get me wrong, I am not a proponent of hyper-individualism where, you know, one person does it all, one person is able to achieve it all. If you want to know why I think that way, you can go back into the catalog of this podcast and search for the episode titled The Thing About Being Self-Made. That would be episode V042. You can listen to that. It's short, it's 19 minutes. Yeah. We see how in this contrasting of comfort and complacency, how the major issue here is choice. What choice are you actively making? Are you actively making choices that assert or assign to you responsibility, or are you abandoning the responsibility to yourself and then ultimately to the society you live in? Because whether we want to admit it or not, while we are individuals, we are all cogs in a wheel. Ultimately, we are all entities in society. We adhere, or we serve as the anti-figures, you know, the figures of warning tales, the figures of caution, or whether we are the role models, or whether, you know, we exist in between the cracks of society. In one way or the other, we all serve certain functions in society. And to be able to serve those functions, we need to be able to, first and foremost, fend and take care of ourselves, which is why, if you realize, self-development, the whole self-development industry thing became a thing. Why? Because inherently our society emphasizes concepts like productivity, time management, all those kind of stuff, which are all things that you need to sort of get into to be able to maximize your potential and earning you the ultimate happiness and giving you the comfort that you want. Even in the idea of greatness, there are people who would literally bulldoze and misalign other people's rights and take advantage of other people and different things like that. Why? Because they are trying to achieve a certain goal for their ultimate happiness, for their ultimate comfort. Comfort for everybody is not sitting on the couch eating fried chicken on a Saturday night and watching a TV show or series or whatever it is called, or watching anime. Comfort for some people is being in the gym, pumping out those muscles. Yes, it is a little bit of pain, but that pain, in a sense, is ultimately contributing to their sense of pleasure and happiness, which is where their comfort relies. So with complacency, you are abandoning self-responsibility and ultimately societal responsibility. With the idea of comfort, it is rest. You are emphasizing rest while you are also working. Many people would complain about, oh, you can keep on working, this and that, overtime. But I am a very, 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 very big proponent of getting to work exactly on time and leaving work exactly when it is closing time and coming back the next day to address whatever it is that is left to do. Why? Because the human being is not a machine. We need rest. You need to rest. Okay? Okay. Now, I bet you're listening to this going, that makes sense. But then there's a question I would like to ask or try my best to answer. And it says, where did this misconception of comfort being the same as complacency come from? Because most of the time, I'm very sure even some people listening to this, this is the first time they are hearing the word complacency, which is terrible. Terrible, I tell you. So now, why is there such a misconception of what those two things are? I mean, they are both two sides of the same coin, being that the comfort can turn into complacency. If you become too comfortable, you become complacent, right? But why do we automatically assume that comfort inherently is a negative value and not a positive thing? I would like to highlight two reasons, two thinkings of mine about why this is. First things first, I think it is easy to misconstrue or misunderstand comfort to be complacent. Because like I said, comfort doesn't look the same for everyone. There are some things that people will not worry about. There are people who are not worried about earning a lot, becoming rich and all that kind of stuff. And it's not because they come from really rich families or they have some sort of inheritance to fall back onto. Nor is it because they earn really, really high, you know, in the job market, but it's because money to them does not have such an inherent value that it places such a large demand on their life. Or maybe it is something else. You see, sometimes some people, it seems like they've given up on love, which there are people who have given up on love, but some people are not desperate. They are not seeking it out in desperation and all this kind of stuff. Why? Because they do not have such a high level of need or want for it. And to other people who have that want, to have that need, who place money or love or whatever it is, insert filling the gap, whatever that is, for people who have such a high demand for that, or people who lay such a great emphasis and seriousness on that thing, to them, people who are not chasing the same thing as they are chasing are being lazy, they are being complacent, when actually people have different levels of comfort and people have different ways that comfort manifests for them. But I also think that there's an economic reason why we have this misconception. Now, I am not an economist, I'm not a social scientist, so I cannot explain this well, but there is this concept called consumerism. According to Investopedia, consumerism is the idea that increasing the consumption of goods and services purchased in the market is always a desirable goal, and that a person's well-being and happiness depends fundamentally on obtaining consumer goods and material possessions. So, I remember one time I was talking to a friend of mine, and you know, he was talking about comfort, and I just finished watching another video because I was doing research for this thing sometime last year, and whenever he was mentioning comfort or talking about comfort zone or talking about people being too comfort or complacency, it always tied around material things. There is this sense that because we have too much stuff, we have become too comfortable, we have become really complacent, and we have lost our purpose in life and everything. And in my head, I was thinking, okay, do we want to take away the good things in life from people? Do we want to forcibly make people suffer now because that would be the right thing? That doesn't seem like the right thing to me. And I think this is where the economic reason for why we mistake comfort for complacency comes from. First things first, the idea that the pursuit of comfort and pleasure primarily depends on how much things you have is a problem. And we see this a lot. We see everybody wants to have the latest iPhone. You want to have a lot of clothes. You want to be able to spend, eat as much as you want, go where it is you want and everything. And none of these things have any value outside of posturing, looking good, and you being happy. But then the problem is, if you cannot be happy when you do not have stuff, what makes you think you'll be happy when you have stuff? If stuff is the only thing that will make you happy, you have to realize that stuff is impermanent. Stuff is ephemeral. Stuff is not long-lasting. It is temporary. Stuff will go and die, right? Which is why this year, one thing I want to emphasize for those around me is contributing and investing in relationships with people, creating much more meaningful and long-standing relationships with those around them, family members, if possible. I know it's not possible for all of us to bond with our family because of the structure that most families carry. Don't worry, sometime along the line in this year, we'll talk about it. But, you know, creating meaningful friendships, having happy, kind partners, you know, investing in those kind of relationships can actually take a long way to go. Finding much more beneficial reasons aside from money for why you pursue the things you want, why you want to have the things you want. Like, for instance, now, I want a headset, I want to be able to eat chicken, I want a really good phone, but all these things, I do not just want these things because I want these things. I want these things because they contribute ultimately to my larger need for comfort and rest, and they allow me to be much more productive. And talking about productivity, many times we see employers assuming that comfortable working conditions or some sort of job security might lead to people becoming complacent and being less motivated to want to walk up the corporate ladder. And I do admit, on some level, if we are being honest with ourselves, majority of us do not need so much stuff. Neither do we need to work so hard and get every single promotion in life, because not everybody needs to have that sort of ambition. In fact, one of the things that allowed greatness to be greatness, one of the things that allowed great men to be able to be great men, is because not everybody desired to fill in that gap. You need normal people. You need people to be content. You need people to, you know, enjoy the small, normal, mundane things of life. There is goodness and greatness in mundanity. If you want to know why I think that way, go back to my episode titled Coping with Being Inadequate, Be Ordinary, episode VO30. Yes, I have a really dope catalog, okay? I need to start plugging myself in every single episode. Yes, and that's what I'm going to be doing this year. I'm going to be shameless, okay? Yeah. But anyway, back to the idea of productivity. To be productive, you need really good working conditions. To be productive, you need some level of comfort at your work. It is what it is. Comfort is a really, really positive and beneficial aspect of our lives. And when we lack sense of comfort, which gives us safety to be able to pursue something else, we usually don't tend to do well as a society. And I don't know whether you've looked at the entire world, which is going batshit crazy right now, but I'm kind of right, at least by my own estimation. Again, listen to the end of the episode. If it works for you, it works for you. If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you, okay? So, to kind of wrap up every single thing that I've been saying, I've been rambling on and on and on. I think it's time to end this, because I know you've gotten the point already. Comfort is actually a good thing. Maybe we shouldn't be talking about comfort zone in this ridiculously negative way, which, yes, I have an episode on comfort zone. Damn, I am giving you guys so many things. I don't know. This might be overload, but anyway, I'm doing it. I'm excited. Okay. Shamelessness. We are practicing it. Okay. You know, thinking about it now, do I actually have an episode on comfort zone? I think I do, but I just cannot remember the name. So I'm just going to plug in another episode here. That would be Habits Are Hard. It's Not Laziness. I think I did address comfort zone in that one. If I didn't, I'll probably have to make another episode about comfort zone and why comfort zone is really not the enemy if you think about it. But anyway, okay. So yes, in conclusion, the difference between comfort and complacency lies mostly in the willingness to embrace comfort without sacrificing one's drive for self-improvement. The pursuit of meaningful goals and the acceptance of individual responsibilities and ethical values are things that we should never abandon. You should never stop developing yourself. You should never stop improving yourself. You should never stop thriving and striving for better, right? But you should also recognize that sometimes You don't need to always go hard. Sometimes you need to go home. Sometimes you need to have a backup plan. You need to have a soft pillow to lay down on at the end of the night, both metaphorically and literally. You need something to always fall on. Sometimes you need a good, stable, flat, strong foundation to stand on so that when you are trying to jump up to higher places, even when you are unable to touch those higher places, you are able to land back down safely. Comfort is security. But you always have to remember, never abandon your responsibility to yourself. Never abandon your responsibility to society. You always have a purpose, something to fulfill, something to contribute to the world. Do not think too low of yourself that you have nothing to give and so you become complacent. If you really think you have nothing to give, then who are you to sit on your ass and do nothing about it? Yeah? Balance is the entire thing. Balance is what you need to look for. And that balance looks differently for other people. And that balance looks different for everybody, honestly. What is balanced for me is not balanced for you and might not be balanced for your best friend or any other person that you know. So it is up to you to determine, do some soul searching, etc., etc. You might not get it as soon, but hey, you have an entire year ahead of you to find your balance between comfort and complacency. With all of that said, I thank you so very much for listening to this episode up to this point. I love you so much. I hope we have a really great year. Before I let you go, I want to talk about my mini blog, sort of. You know, I did not run this show with donations, anything like that. I barely have any financial support outside of myself. I have friends who have contributed. The microphone I'm currently using was contributed by my friend Ojalabi Finifoluwa. Thank you so much, fam. I really, really love you. But I'm not here to ask for your money. I'm actually here to tell you to sign up for my Substack, where I write. Yes, I also write articles. Sometimes they are relating to the episodes I make here. And so they offer much more additional concepts, knowledge, and information for you to get. So, and sometimes I'm going to be making some extra podcast episodes that might not really fit here, and I'm going to be uploading them on my Substack. So, if you want more of me, you know, subscribe to my Substack. It is called The Cabinet of Curiosities. No, sorry. Cabinet of Introspection. You can find the link down below, or you can just search for it on Google and it will bring it up. Also, follow me on social media. It is Daniel Briggs on Twitter and also Volatile with Daniel on Instagram. Okay? Love you. Bye-bye.